This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
From Odyssey, I'm Lauren Berry, and this is the On Deadline podcast, where you get a closer look at stories from our radio newsrooms across the nation. Today at On Deadline, we're looking into a recent string of deadly or dangerous airplane and airport incidents across the country, and we're asking if this is a new normal. It's not a secret that airports, airlines, and air traffic controller towers in the U.S. are understaffed. After the COVID-19 pandemic all but shut down the world of travel, the industry was forced to respond. Airlines offered aging pilots, who still had years left before calling it quits, an early retirement in order to stop the financial bleeding. New recruits for air traffic controllers were also reduced at that time, and millions of other workers in the industry were furloughed so companies could stay afloat. But now an influx of travel has resulted in a shortage of workers that has some people asking if the stress placed on these workers is too much. These questions rose to a fever pitch last week when an American Airlines plane crashed into a military Black Hawk helicopter over the Potomac River as it was preparing to land at Reagan National Airport in Washington, D.C. All 67 people on board the two aircrafts died in the accident. In the days following the crash, all eyes have been on airports and air traffic safety, and a string of other incidents has also followed that tragic crash. Less than 36 hours after the crash in D.C., a medical transport plane crashed in Philadelphia, killing 7 and injuring 22. 2 days after that, at Chicago's O'Hare International Airport, a plane's wing clipped a tug vehicle while taxiing to its terminal. It flipped the vehicle over and pinned the worker driving it underneath, leaving him critically injured. Then, on Sunday, a flight at George Bush Intercontinental Airport in Houston was forced to deboard after the plane caught fire right before takeoff. After all these incidents in such a short amount of time, Americans are more focused on the safety of air travel than they've been in a while. But we should also remember that just last year, there were also some pretty terrifying stories about Boeing planes, including an incident where a plane door flew off mid-flight. Right now, we're wondering, how rare is it for all of these accidents to happen in just 1 week? Mike McCarron is an aviation industry consultant who joined Odyssey to give us an update.
Before we jump into it, let me just say, I have to say, it's so incredibly unusual to hear about fatal aviation accidents, right? I mean, it's not just my imagination. This is highly unusual.
They're extremely rare. The one that happened Wednesday night was the first significant in about 15 years. And it's just the industry has an incredibly high safety record. And for this to happen is a rare event.
Can you tell us just a little bit, Mike, in terms of what happened with each of these crashes? There was one in D.C. and one in Philly.
Right. The one in D.C., the midair, they're still investigating, but clearly there's a separation of aircraft problem, and they're investigating as far as an air traffic control, was it pilot air, was it a combination of things, and that's what the NTSB is looking at. The one in Philadelphia, I haven't seen the latest on that, but that could be a mechanical issue or a problem with the aircraft itself, and that's still being investigated as well.
Is it worthy? I mean, is it worth it, Mike, when we talk about, you know, there's just been so much talk about staffing levels, whether or not the control tower was understaffed before the helicopter and the plane collided over the Potomac. I mean, is it really, is that true? I mean, is that a huge issue? Could that possibly have played a part in this?
It could be a factor. I doubt if it's the factor, but it could be a factor, a contributing factor among others. The real problem is that the FAA is short on controllers. They've been short for a while. Many of the controllers that were hired after the Reagan strike in the 80s have now reached retirement age and had forced retirement, and they are still trying to get more people in those towers. And to get to a tower such as at Reagan National or SFO or Chicago Air, you got to be at the top of your game. You've got to have several years of experience. You got to work your way up the ladder. So it takes time to backfill those critical tower spots.
Yeah. Mike, could these crashes be due to a lack of oversight? I mean, there's been talk. People are talking. I mean, are pilots skipping necessary steps, in your opinion?
No, the steps are still there. They still have examinations. They still have the hours they have to put in. It's probably more than a little just coincidental. You know, just listening to your traffic report, there are accidents at different roads doesn't mean they're related. It's just it's a coincidence. And the fact they happen basically back-to-back in consecutive days is extremely odd and just a bad coincidence.
Something was discovered in the days after the crash in D.C., a job being done by one worker at Reagan National Airport was usually done by two people, and that could have played a role in the crash, according to a report from the New York Times. So why was one worker doing the job of two people? Simple. It happens all the time. A report from the Federal Aviation Administration shows that more than 90% of the country's airport terminal towers are understaffed. According to the FAA's report, which included staffing numbers from nearly 200 airport towers, only 2% of those towers met the Collaborative Resource Working Group's 2024 staffing requirements. Another 8% were forced to meet the target, but had to include controllers who were still in training. Following the crash, investigators from the FAA and the National Transportation Safety Board have started their own investigations. ABC's Stephen Portnoy joined Odyssey to share what they might find.
Where is the focus this morning with the investigation?
Well, obviously, the fact that the flight data recorders have been recovered from the plane will provide the NTSB with a bit of information that they've been looking to nail down. And that is the altitude of the plane at the time of the collision. You know, there's been a lot of conversation in the last 36 hours about the idea that the helicopter was flying too high. The basis for that is data that has been publicly available on apps such as Flight Radar 24 and Flight Tracker and others that indicate that the aircraft was at about 350 feet above the runway or above the river, making its way for runway 33 at the time of the collision. Now, those apps, the data there sometimes isn't accurate. And so the flight data recorder from the aircraft itself will confirm the readings of the altimeter of the airplane before the collision. And that will help investigators understand exactly what went wrong here. Yesterday, the defense secretary, Pete Hegseth, said that it was some sort of elevation issue, as he described it. He said a mistake was made, presumably by the crew of the Black Hawk helicopter. Again, the information will be analyzed by the NTSB, which is just beginning its investigation.
You've been at Reagan Airport. We've heard so much about how busy it is. Here in Buffalo, our airport, not the busiest airport in the world. A lot of us love it for it, but a totally different story in D.C. Can you give us an idea of just how many planes are coming and going and how much cross-traffic there is?
And a lot of us here in Washington love Reagan National Airport because of its proximity to the city. It is just across the Potomac River from Washington, D.C., and has been there since essentially the dawn of commercial aviation. It was actually the original airfield here in Washington was on what is now the site of the Pentagon. It was moved just a bit further south in the 1940s. Since then, the population of this area has exploded. Air travel as an enterprise has enormously exploded, and there is increasing demand for the use of Reagan National Airport by members of Congress and their staffs as they want to jet home from Washington, D.C. You know, when the Constitution was written, it was hard for members of Congress to make their way from the states to Washington. Now, you can get from the furthest state to Washington in a matter of hours, and The way, primarily, that members of Congress leave this town is through Reagan National Airport. Dulles Airport, about 30 miles away, is the longer-haul international airport. The one closest to the city is for the regional and the shorter flights. But there are recently, Congress last year approved additional slots for the airlines. The airlines want more business, and they want more people flying out of that airport. So much so that roughly 800 flights take off or land from that airport on any given day. Now, that's just the commercial aviation side of it. What you also have, of course, is the fact that the nation's capital has to be defended. And there are high-profile government officials who need to be transported. And the military is constantly running helicopter flights along the same corridor at the same time, as along with law enforcement agencies such as the Secret Service, the Park Police, the D.C. Police, and a multitude of other agencies who want eyes in the sky. And so what you have is an incredibly crowded circumstance where planes are taking off and landing at the same time that the helicopters are in the air. Now, typically, and for decades, this has not been a problem. So what has happened now? This delicate dance in the sky. What went wrong with the choreography of that dance with respect to the Black Hawk helicopter? That's what the investigation needs to focus on. Of course, there's a question about air traffic controllers. We don't have time to get into all the things that President Trump said yesterday in the briefing room. My colleague Mary Bruce from ABC News asked the president what evidence he has to suggest that anything had to do with diversity initiatives. He offered none. He said, well, it could be. He told another distinguished newsman from the New York Times it was common sense. What we have learned is that a shift at the control tower for the air traffic is typically two people, one to focus on the planes taking off and landing, and one to focus on the military helicopters in the same space. But usually, and oftentimes, when there is low volume in the evening, because Reagan National Airport is busy through the day but gets quiet at night, when it's lower volume, one controller can be assigned to watch the planes and the choppers, the military helicopters. And that is what was in place at the time of this horrible collision the other night. Now, the question is whether that had something to do with it. What we hear on the recording is an acknowledgement from the military helicopter that it was instructed to keep eyes on the plane. The thinking now is that, among smart people, is that the helicopter identified the wrong plane. That they were told more than once to keep an eye on the CRJ regional jet. They acknowledged it. They requested visual separation. And then the collision. So the question is, what plane were they looking at? Were they using their night vision goggles? Did they have their peripheral vision blocked? Were they distracted by the lights of the city and other helicopters or other planes? These are all questions that the investigation will get at.
Aviation accidents are nothing new to Americans, and often incidents like the DC and Philly crashes lead to stronger safety measures to help protect everyone who takes to the sky. One of those incidents was Colgan Air Flight 3407 in 2009. To share more about this accident and how it sparked change, former Congressman Brian Higgins joined Odyssey.
After that tragedy happened in Clarence, Flight 3407, you worked with families to really lobby for a lot of stricter laws regarding pilot training, safety, time off and rest that pilots would get. I mean, what can you remember from the immediate aftermath and turning that tragedy into something that can be acted on?
Well, the goodness and humanity, first and foremost, of the families. You know, they could have retreated into their solitude, but they didn't. They weren't broken. They were broken open. And their contributions to landmark legislation that ensured that, that they would, while they would never, get their loved ones back, that the loved ones of the American flying public would be protected because of this tragedy and their courage. And what we learned, the Flight 3407, it was the plane went into an aerodynamic stall. It pitched, it fell from the sky and into the land. And what we learned from the investigation from the National Transportation Safety Board was that the pilots dealing with an aerodynamic stall did the exact opposite of what they should have been trained to do. So it was pilot error. And then we found out upon further investigation that there are two levels of safety, you know, with this American Airlines flight that was operated by a regional carrier. And before 3407, there were two levels of safety, less stringent for the regional carriers and more so for the large commercial carriers. But people were being duped in a way. 3407 was a Continental flight, but it wasn't really operated by Continental. It was operated by Cogan Air, which was a regional carrier. The same is true with this American Airlines flight. So 16 years ago, it was profoundly sad. 16 years later, it's profoundly sad. But, you know, if you look at what the families of the victims of Flight 3407 were able to do, and let me tell you something, we were there. And we introduced the legislation, but they provided the substance that made that legislation possible. So what happened? The increased pilot training. Before 3407, the regional carriers had 750 hours of training. Now, because of the legislation, it's 1,500 hours. We've developed a pilot records database, which is important. Why? Because at least one of the pilots in Flight 3407 had some problems in their history. That should be known before an airline hires a pilot. Improve consumer transparency. So ticket buyers would know the airline that's actually operating the flight, and issues relative to pilot fatigue. The two pilots in 3407 were flying all night, and obviously, you know, rest is important when you're making these long journeys. And the situation with the American Airlines tragedy, very congested airspace. That airport, Reagan National Airport, was built for about 15 million passengers coming in and out every year. It's up to 25 million. And those planes are coming in over the Potomac River. It's very, very narrow. It's very, very congested. And Andrews Air Force Base is in very close proximity to Reagan National. And those Black Hawk helicopters, I've flown in those when doing fact-finding in Iraq, Afghanistan, and the Middle East. They're helicopters that travel at nearly 200 miles an hour, and they're about 16,000 tons. So that's a big collision. And as you have reported and has been reported over the last couple of days, you know, there has been an issue for decades about air traffic controllers and not having as many as are needed at a time when, you know, air travel is increasing, not decreasing. So I think, you know, the National Transportation Safety Board is expert at this. They will find likely an actual cause, and that should be used much like it was with Flight 3407 as a basis from which to make changes to protect the flying public.
President Donald Trump was quick to place blame for the deadly DC plane crash, which we should note was the nation's worst air disaster in 20 years. He placed this blame on diversity, equity, inclusion efforts to add minorities and people with disabilities into air traffic control jobs. Trump has also blamed former President Joe Biden's administration and the administration of former President Barack Obama when discussing the crash. But really, we don't know exactly what went wrong. What we do know is that the Black Hawk helicopter on a military training mission was flying about 100 feet higher than it should have been, and it was also around a half mile off course. And then there's this. National Transportation Safety Board member Todd Inman told reporters that the board has made several hundred recommendations to improve aviation safety that haven't been acted upon. And here's a direct quote from Inman. You want to do something about it? Adopt the recommendations of the NTSB. You'll save lives. Inman added that he has spent hours with victims' families since the crash. I don't want to have to meet with those parents like that again, he said. If human error or a software issue or even a bad staffing decision caused the collision, I'm sure we can all agree on that. And we're hoping that we don't have to report on any more incidents. especially if things like human error or software issues or even bad staffing decisions can be avoided. This show is produced by Joe Heedy, Christy Strouser, and by me. I'm Lauren Berry, and I want to say thanks for listening to On Deadline, Odyssey's serving of a top news story just for you. Subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts to stay informed.